Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome. It is so wonderful to connect with you, and I hope this finds you doing well, continuing to focus on the positive and really bring in that positive mindset to continue to lift your health and your life. And of course, that's where we're going today, is another layer of that, really taking it to the next level. And that's ultimately what we're going to do. Is today's volunteer kind of brings up a very common topic. You know, we've heard about the power of love to heal or loneliness, but there are things that are going on at an even deeper level that aren't really getting the attention that they need to create that change. I mean, let's be honest for a moment. You know, we've all heard before that love is healing. And the truth of it is that if I was going to say that in a different way, I'd say love can be healing. And of course, it's not always the real issue. I mean, even if you think back to a lot of the episodes in this podcast where I've worked with people and helped to create radical shifts in their health, and you can see that and experience that. And it hasn't necessarily been about the topic of love, though in a few cases it has. So it's always different. You know, my injury wasn't centered around love, but some are. I've even worked with people before who felt smothered by love, like they had too much love in their life and they felt smothered by it, that then had health issues going on as well. And so it can go in a variety of different ways, but love is very important, and human connection. And when we stop and think about it for a moment, even before this whole COVID thing, loneliness had been a growing epidemic. I mean, it was growing out of control. And when you stop and think about it for a moment, that's kind of odd, considering that there are almost 8 billion people in the world now. I mean, to have loneliness be such an issue. And so that's where we're really going today, is really deep into a deeper level of awareness into the mindset and energy and what creates that and what you'll want to shift in your life. And so that's where we're going. And of course, you know, I mean, when we stop and think about it for a moment, it's an interesting topic to come up at this time, considering the fact that we've been on, you know, a lot of stay-at-home orders or quarantine and different things going on with the pandemic as well. And, you know, during this time, there are some people who are feeling more lonely than ever, and they're experiencing it, and it's just really, really getting to them. And of course, there are other people on the opposite side who are actually reaching out to family and friends and loved ones and creating so many connections and deepening their connections with people because they feel like they have more time to be able to do that. So I'm seeing both. And I'm also seeing a lot of people who are choosing to date during this time, who are falling in love. I mean, there's a lot of different things going on. But of course, at the core of everything, there's always an underlying vibration or energy or mindset going on. And we're also going to see how that relates to health, you know, because not only has it been said spiritually that love is healing, but we can even see that there are more and more studies, conventional studies, that are showing this to be true. You know, even there was a study done in the Netherlands a couple years ago, 2017, so about 2.5 years ago, that showed that there was a major link between loneliness and type 2 diabetes. Now, in their research, what they did is they, you know, did a questionnaire of people and who had type 2 diabetes and, of course, people who didn't, a control group, but noticing that in the research that they did, that a lot of people with type 2 diabetes had a lot of isolation going on. Now, when I look at it, of course, you know, if you've been listening, a lot of times there's multiple links and also there's more things typically going on at an emotional level. But either way, point being is that even conventional medicine is starting to come to this awareness and showing it in their data. And so that's awesome that we're seeing more and more of it. And of course, there are a lot of layers. Anytime I've worked with type 2 diabetes, it's also, you know, there's multiple things and multiple elements that are going on. And so either way, point being is that we can see that loneliness can definitely be an issue, and not just an issue with your health. You know, even if it's something that's not linked to your health, it's not fun to live life with an inner feeling of loneliness. I mean, nobody should have to feel that way. Again, especially in a world with almost 8 billion people, that shouldn't happen. And so what's also beautiful is that technically, set up for today, I had a different volunteer. And I love this because it's so divinely set up, because I had a different volunteer and at last minute, she had to cancel. And then very divinely, right after that, today's volunteer, Catherine, emailed in and was having migraines and whatnot. And so she's the one that got that slot right away. And so beautifully, divinely unfolding. I love it. I love it. I love it. And so it's a beautiful topic and it's perfect timing. And so that said, let's go ahead and dive in with Catherine. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. My migraine has shifted quite a bit, actually, since I knew I was going to get some help today. So the level has gone down, so that's good. But I'm very excited to talk to you.
Wonderful. Well, I love it. It's starting to shift already. So great. And so if I ask you, what is your level of pain currently right now with your migraine?
I'd say it's probably about a 3.
About a 3. Okay. And you mentioned,
probably around a 7 or an 8 earlier today.
Okay. And bingo. And how long has that been going on?
For about 3 days, on and off.
Okay. On and off for about 3 days. All right. Bingo. And how long?
Probably at least 30 years.
Okay. Okay. So give me just 1 second. All right, so I want to pause it just super quick, just because it broke up a bit there when I asked my question. And since it's live, I can't fix the audio, but I just want to make sure to explain it. And I think you got it. But I said to her, I asked her, you know, how long has this been going on with the migraines? And that's the part that broke up. And of course, her answer came through where she said it's been going on for about 30 years. And so likely you caught on to it, but just in case, that was the question that I asked her, is, you know, how long had it been going on? And the reason that's important is because we're going to look at the underlying pattern. You know, for somebody to have migraines for days at a time for over 30 years is a long time to be having migraines. And so I'm wanting to see what's triggering it. And so I asked her to say things like my husband and different things like that, to see which specific neurons are firing, you know, which way they're firing and how that's affecting the energy of her body and all of that. And so that's where we're going. And let's go ahead and dive back in with Catherine. Okay. And so just for a moment, can you say the word, can you say my husband?
My husband.
That's not him. Bingo. You have an older son?
Yes, my son's name is George.
Bingo. And bingo. There's like this feeling. There's like this feeling of bingo. Bingo. There's like this feeling of feeling like you're going to be criticized by him. Are you familiar with that feeling?
I'm familiar with the feeling of being afraid of being criticized. I wouldn't really associate it with him.
Yeah, it's, it's actually, I'm sorry, it's not from him, it's regarding him. Bingo. Do you know what that is?
No, just being criticized by not being a good enough mom, you think, or?
Give me one second. That, bingo. Bingo. Is he off at school?
He's home now, but he has gone away to school.
Okay. And is he planning on going away to school again, or?
Yes.
Okay. And, bingo. Okay. So when he goes off to school, bingo. Is there a part of you that's not wanting him to go to school?
Yes.
And have you expressed that to him yet?
No.
Okay. And when are you planning on telling him you don't want him to go to school? Mm. Don't want him to go off to school. When are you planning on telling him that?
I wasn't planning on telling him that because I think that's just a small part of me. And it has more to do with, you know, selfishly for me than anything that I want for him. I mean, it's good and right for him to continue and finish school.
Okay. And bingo. That. Can you see the part of you that wants to talk him out of it? Even though you're not necessarily going to do it, but can you see the part of you that wants to?
I know very strongly there's a part of me that doesn't enjoy being at home as much when he's not here.
Bingo. Okay. And bingo. That. Bingo. If I ask you your current level of pain, what's your current level of pain right now?
I think it's going down. Yeah, it feels like the pain and the tension has shifted lower and the pressure has shifted lower into my body, but the pain is gone.
Gone, right?
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Yes. So I went to check in what was left and there was nothing there. So first and foremost, awesome job with your energy. And now let's process that for a moment. Okay. Yeah. So can you see there was a part of you that wanted to kind of stop him from going off to school? And then when I said it, as soon as I said it, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Can you see how he's just saying it out loud?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so we kind of hear what we're thinking and we go, wait a second, let's not. So I love that shift. And then if I ask you how much you can feel of the pressure feeling in your body, what's your level?
Maybe a 4.
Bingo. All right, so give me 1 second. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pause it just for a moment. And I have to say, I love this woman. I love her. I love her self-awareness. I love her honesty. I love how much she loves her son. She's a sweetheart. And also, there are several insights here. You know, a few things. First and foremost, notice that as soon as I even said about her son going off to college and all of that, it went down right away because it shifted. And there are a few things to note. I mean, I completely understand. She lives in Washington. He's in Arizona. And their school has been, you know, that area has been increasing with the numbers. So she's got some things going on. But notice a few things, that this is something that she didn't even do. So, you know, as soon as I mentioned this topic, it shifted from her mind to then to her body. But notice, she hadn't even talked to him about going back to college, though a part of her wanted to. And so what's interesting is that part of what was going on is future facing, is something that she, part of her, wanted to do, which may feel like a hard time to make sense of it. But the best way to explain it is this, is that we can have emotions, and things that we want to do can trigger pain in our body. And the reason why this is important is because all of the time I see people who are, you know, they'll come into one of my courses, they're going through the video set or whatnot, but they're always looking for something that's in the past. They're always looking for some type of issue, that trauma that's happened in childhood or whatnot. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the thing has already happened. A perfect example is if you think back to the guy who was wanting to cheat on his wife, and he had had extreme pain, and he didn't even cheat on her. And he didn't, you know, he didn't cheat on her. He didn't even do it. He didn't even take any action towards it. However, he had extreme pain. And so, point being is that it really has to do with emotions and how we're feeling. And it's not always linked to an extreme trauma like a lot of people think it is. And so that's a part of it. But I just want to, you know, add that clarity in, just because I see a lot of people looking in the wrong direction for what's going on with their health all of the time. And so, you know, they get like a tunnel vision towards problems, and I'll see them, you know, working on one trauma after another and trying to work through it. And yet a lot of times what they're doing is they're steering up more things. So they're feeling a bit worse, or sometimes a lot worse, and they're ending up with more health issues or more things going on, and they're not looking in the direction that they want to. And so you want to make sure to keep an open mind to everything when you're working on healing. That is key. And now, of course, we also want to look at the awareness that now it moved. And so with the pain moving, we know that there's something else that is going on as well. And so that's, of course, where we're going. And by the way, you'll hear people all of the time feel like aches and pains are just normal. Like people say, yeah, you know, I got those aches and pains. It's just, you know, because I'm getting older and I'm feeling that ache or feeling that pain. But it's always our body trying to tell us something. I mean, even if you think about that beautiful woman, what, Shirley, 77 years old, from earlier this month, a few episodes ago, just a beautiful woman, feeling incredible and coming back to like physical health in the most beautiful way. And I see people of all ages just feeling better than ever. And so, point being is that if you are somebody who's also thought, you know, it's normal to just have aches and pains as I get older, you don't want to believe in that either. So anyway, that's where we're going, is we're going to look at why the pain moved. And so that said, let's dive back in with Catherine.
Okay, so I want you to notice the part of you that, as you mentioned, I don't know what your exact words are, but can you see the part of you that feels a bit more lonely when he's gone?
Yes.
Okay. And if you think about it for a moment, I mean, the real solution is just to keep him home until he's 80. And then, and then you'll never feel alone. So, question for you. If you were sitting on the couch and you were really hungry, how soon till you get up and find some food?
As soon as I made the decision to do it.
Okay. And would it take you a few days probably, or?
No.
No. Which is why you've made it through this life living and been able to raise a family and all these things, right? And so, when you think about for a moment feeling lonely, if I ask you how long you've felt lonely for on the inside, how long has that been?
Very, very long time, probably decades.
Decades, okay. And so could you imagine if you were sitting on the couch for decades feeling hungry?
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay.
We need to solve that.
Yeah. Now, if I ask you honestly, you think about it. When you look at it, honestly, I love your self-awareness, by the way. I love your self-awareness. Love your self-honesty. Beautiful. And if I ask you, honestly, when you think about the feeling of feeling lonely, how much you've really taken action to change that, to say, oh, you know what? I've got to take more time to connect with people. I've got to...
Yeah, I've let myself be stopped from that very easily. Mm-hmm. I have this sense, I think, of wanting someone else to do something with me, not wanting to do things alone. I don't know, but and even waiting for someone else to do that with me to, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of ridiculous, but yeah, I think
okay.
The program's in there somewhere.
Okay, and bingo. So just for a moment, so I want you to notice the part of you that said that's kind of ridiculous. And instead of judging it or criticizing it, let's just breathe for a moment and have a new perspective on it. It says, instead of saying it's ridiculous, that's eye-opening, or that's another perspective.
Yeah.
That's an empowering perspective, right? So if I was sitting on the couch for decades and I was waiting for somebody else to bring me food and I was hungry, you would probably say, Brandy, what's your action plan, right?
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting is that even as I'm saying this, and this is so perfect, because have you heard that loneliness is an epidemic?
Yeah.
When you stop and think about it for a moment, there are almost 8 billion people on the planet, and yet there are so many people who feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And so just for a moment, if I ask you, if you just feel this way just for a couple more decades, is that cool?
No way. I want to shift it now.
Okay. What if that requires you to step outside of your comfort zone and connect with people? And
that's okay. I'm good with that. I don't know what's been stopping me. And I have done quite a lot of that, but yet... You know, I guess when people in my immediate family are doing something different, I let it stop me.
Okay. And so I'm going to ask you just for a moment to close your eyes. And I want you to think about what happens. Let's say you have some friends that you're connecting with more often. And I know there's a lot of this whole quarantine thing going on. So maybe it's a Zoom chat and a Zoom hanging out or whatever, but more and more people are connecting online in so many ways, dating and all kinds of things and friendships and Zoom parties and house party, all kinds of things. And so just for a moment, what would it look like to have a few friends that you were connecting with and having fun and laughing with and even having like a virtual tea or coffee party with or whatnot? What would that look like in your life? What would that look like if you did that and you had that, let's say, for the next 1 year and the next 2 years and the next 5 years and the next 20 years and the next 30 years? How much would that add to your life?
It would be incredible. You know, those connections mean everything.
Yeah. So just for a moment, can you picture having your family? And then also having your relationship with your husband, and also having a lot of wonderful friends that are positive, that are people you can laugh and have a great time with and talk with and all of that. And I love that breath. Beautiful. And if I ask you how lonely you would be in that situation, how lonely would you feel?
I wouldn't.
Okay. And bingo. And so if I ask you just for a moment, what your level is in your body, 0 to 10?
I'd say maybe it's a 2.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. Beautiful. So first and foremost, awesome job with your energy. And can you see the part of you that doesn't trust that you would follow through to make a change?
Yeah, I guess, you know, when I've reached out to friends and it hasn't been convenient because they're busy with their kids or things are going on, it's easy for me to get stuck in thinking I'm not important, you know, that other things are more important.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love it. Well said. I love it. I love your insight. I love your heart. You have a beautiful heart, by the way. Really beautiful.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and pause it just for a moment for a few reasons. I mean, first and foremost, her and I spoke at the same time. And so if you couldn't hear her, she said, I got to change that. And I love that. I love it. It's so impressive. And I have to say, I love how much she said that and she's willing to want to change. You know, if you've seen some past episodes where I've maybe pushed somebody a bit to help them to change, you know, when people are resistant, I push a bit. And there's a few reasons that I do that. First and foremost, it's because it's what I would have wanted. You know, in going through my injury, if somebody had said to me, hey, by the way, this is how you can heal yourself, and I was resistant, they would say, you know, look, let me show you, and pushed a bit. And I could see that my issue could go away or my pain would change or something like that. I mean, that would have been the biggest gift, to be able to save me years of my life being injured, all of those things. And so I do that partially where I push a bit to help people to be able to have that aha moment that they really can do this. Because let's be honest, you know, more and more people are hearing about the power of the mind to heal, but more and more people are failing at getting results. And I see it all of the time. And so a lot of times people will think, you know, if they fail at it, it's not a big deal. They can try something else. But when you stop and think about it for a moment, when somebody doesn't get results, it's a problem, because then they build up more belief that it's not even possible. You know, it's not like, oh, well, somebody didn't get results, it's no big deal, they tried this meditation or that meditation and they didn't get results, and no big deal. But when somebody tries something and it doesn't work, then it makes them even more skeptical that anything will work. And so they lose more hope in that moment. Instead of gaining something, they lose hope. And so I wouldn't want anybody to experience that. So I also push, because if they're going to work with it and work with their mind to get the results, and they're being a bit resistant, I'll push to help them to really see they really can do it and they really can get results. And so anyway, point being is she is doing the exact opposite. She's like, you know, I'm showing her things and she's like, I've got to change that. So I love that. So impressive. And she's beautiful. I'm just super impressed. And so, and also love that I don't have to push so much. I can just kind of talk to her on these and she's like, oh, I've got it. Oh, I need to change, you know? And so I love that. Now, of course, it's still going to take getting change into her subconscious mind and the correct specific changes. And so we're going to talk about even more about what that is, because even though I've pointed out the problem of loneliness, as we started to talk about in the very beginning, there is always an underlying link going on. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, could you imagine being surrounded by 8 billion gallons of water and saying you're completely dehydrated? Or 8 billion restaurants and saying you're starving? You know, if you think about it for a moment, when we have a world that's so full of people everywhere, there's a reason why that loneliness comes up. And so that's where we're going as we step back in with Catherine.
Bingo. So the thing of it is this, that, bingo. If I ask you how long you've been telling yourself you're unimportant or you don't matter, people have other things to do that are more important. If I ask you how long you've been feeling that way, how long would you say that is?
Probably goes back to when I was, just a child.
Mm-hmm. So I have the ripe old age of 3. So, bingo. You know what's fascinating? When you stop and think about it for a moment, that we can have patterns of feeling lonely, literally, in a world full of almost 8 billion people. And then we have these patterns, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Just energy is incredible. The way things manifest and unfold are incredible. And so, bingo. And so it makes complete sense that other people are important and you're just not, right?
Not at all.
Not at all. Well, your son is important, but you're not.
I am important.
And people, what's that?
With me.
What'd you say?
I am important and people like to be with me.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
People like to be with me. I'm super fun and nice. And people like to be with me.
Right, they do. Can you take that in for a moment? Now, just for a moment, if you think about it, loneliness is a growing epidemic, not only that, but even more so during this time and all of that. How many other women do you think would love to have somebody to connect with and laugh with and enjoy and just have great fun time with, right?
Yeah.
And even as a mom, would you have loved that time also?
Absolutely.
Bingo. So, bingo. So just for a moment, are you willing to actually spend the time to create that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And bingo. Do you trust yourself that you'll follow through?
Mostly, maybe 90%. Work on the other 10.
So if you were going to drive somewhere right now, are you 90% sure that you would put it in drive, or are you 100% sure you'd put the car in drive?
100%.
Okay.
And I 100% want to get rid of this loneliness, this feeling of loneliness.
Okay. And if you were hungry, are you 90% sure that you would get yourself food, or are you 100% sure you'd get yourself some food?
100%.
Okay. Yeah. So I want you to think about love as soul food. Your love, like, it's just like a plant. It needs sun.
Yeah.
We need connection. We require love. So even if we think about a senior who loses a spouse, or even an infant, you've heard of before, an infant doesn't get enough love, they can actually die.
Yeah. I love how you say that. Love is soul food.
It is.
That's so good.
Okay. So bingo. One way to even think about it for a moment is if you think about a plant, how much do you think so a plant needs food. Needs like soil and nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, blah, blah, blah. It needs water. And how much does it need sun?
100%.
So sun is just energy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So just for a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And can you bring in the awareness that even if you think about an infant who gets all of the right food, they can still have failure to thrive without having love? And can you bring in the awareness that just like you need food and water, you need the energy of love? Can you bring that in? Yeah. Realize its importance.
What kind of popped up was the feeling of, is it safe to be seen?
Okay. And is it safe to be seen? Is it safe to be seen? Or is it safe to be unseen?
No.
If you think about an infant, if an infant was coming into the world, would you say, oh, better to not give it any love? Or would you say, oh, you're going to need to give it love. The more love you give it, the more it's going to flourish.
Yes. Lots of love.
So if you knew that the more that you gave you love and the more that you surrounded your life with love, the more you would flourish, how much would you surround your life with love?
100%.
Beautiful. And so knowing again, like thinking about love as being soul food, if you think about yourself personally, the more you eat healthy, great food, great for you, the more you give your soul good, positive love and connection, the better you flourish, right?
Yes.
Bingo. And so if I ask you, are you really willing to step outside of your comfort zone?
Yes, I am.
And can you see the part of you that doesn't want to?
Yeah, that tiny little part, yes.
Okay. And bingo. And did it take a little bit of courage for you to have kids?
Yeah.
Okay. And did it take a little bit of courage for you to get married?
Yes.
Okay. And are you still happy that you had your kids?
I am.
Okay. And if you think about it for a moment, everything takes courage. Like even the first time that you rode your bike without training wheels probably took courage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And bingo. And so if I ask you, are you really willing to step through that courage? Everything that you want is on the other side of that courage. Are you really willing to step up and make that change?
Yes.
Good. And what's the level in your body? 0 to 10?
Zero. I can't find it.
Awesome job. Okay. So, bingo. So if we kind of, before we wrap up, if we look at this for a moment and realize that your body's really actually, like the when we started, when it was with the headache, there was a feeling of also of loneliness, of also wanting your son, and it moved. Okay. Now, if you think about it, when I asked you, how long have you had headaches for, migraines, how long has that been?
Decades.
And how long have you had a feeling loneliness on the inside?
Wow, decades.
Wow, right?
Yeah. At the root of it? At the root of it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, so that's the emotional.
Oh, it brings tears to my eyes. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I can give you this biggest hug right now. You're gorgeous. So what I want you to do, though, is notice you were able to bring it down. You're so precious. I could hug you. You're just beautiful. You're beautiful. All right, you're bringing tears to my eyes. Okay, so moving forward, so I want you to notice you're able to get it gone in your head, and then it would go down to a level 2 in your body. And then there was a part of you that wasn't trusting yourself to follow through. So I know you're saying you will in this moment, but will you make sure to follow through and really create that shift?
Yes. I want to live my life fully and fully be vibrant and energetic and living my life and not having days and weeks and months taken out because I have pain. So yes, I am willing to be freaking, I don't know the word for unlonely.
What is the word for unlonely?
I don't know.
What is it? What would it feel like?
Fulfilled. Maybe fulfilled.
Fulfilled, loved, connected.
Loved and cherished. Loved and cherished.
Great. Can you make that a theme moving forward?
Yes.
Beautiful. You're glowing. Beautiful. I love it.
amazing. I'm so happy.
You are absolutely so welcome. You're so beautiful. And make sure to follow through, okay?
I will.
Wish you're so wonderful. I wish you an incredible rest of your day.
You too, Brandy.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So there are several really powerful insights from this last segment. And, you know, first and foremost, what a beautiful, loving, wonderful, funny human being. I mean, she's so precious. And I love that she's light. She's laughing. She's playful. She's smart. I mean, just really an incredible being. And if you think about it for a moment, she's been feeling unimportant. Now, if we stop and notice for a moment, the average person who feels important at this stage in their life, as she is, what would they typically do? Well, typically they would strive for ways to feel important. They would strive and try to look for this or do things or do whatever it takes to try to feel important. But if you think about it for a moment, she's had this pattern since childhood, since age 3, okay? And so ultimately, there's multiple things that she wants to do from this place, and it's first and foremost to really start shifting that to feel important and also to feel loved. And that's key, and that change wants to start on the inside. So notice I was asking her, you know, what is the opposite of feeling lonely? And she was like, I don't even know what that word, what the opposite would be. It's unlonely, and it's like loved, connected. And so really starting to shift that is so key. And so as I mentioned before, that I didn't want to push her too much, because the reality of it is she was willing to change. And so I wanted to give her time with the information to absorb it and to take it in. And so notice I said to her, you know, make sure to follow through. And so even though that she wants to change and she's excited to change, and she's the one that said, I need to change that in the very beginning, you know, when we make a change, we have to be able to get it in our subconscious mind and our energy and really follow through. And also then have the courage to really make that change. And by the way, I'll see people all of the time in that space where they, you know, haven't made the change. And then one day they're like, you know what? Today's my day. And this, you know, it's like, I'm changing my life. That's it. And when people have that moment where they say, okay, this is it, and they commit to making that change, you know, whatever it is for them. And of course, again, all change really does start from the inside. And so either way, that's what you'll want to do, is if loneliness or feeling disconnected has been an issue for you, you'll want to really understand where that's coming from and shift it wholeheartedly, and then be willing to step out. Because I've also seen people, you know, at the very beginning, I talked about how there were people going through COVID who had different patterns. And I've seen some people that they've reached out to others, and maybe they have a pattern of rejection or whatever it is. And then they've reached out during this time of quarantine or COVID or stay at home or whatever. And I know things are opening up in, depending upon, of course, what state you're in. But I think most states are now in the U.S. that are opening up, and probably there'll be some more locking down and different things that are going on. But either way, that there's some people who have been reaching out more towards others, and their pattern follows them. And so yet again, they're reaching out, and again, they experience that feeling of rejection, or whatever it is for them, or whatever it is for you, if you have something going on. And so, of course, making that shift is so important. And you'll want to make sure to get yourself to follow through. So even notice her pain went from a 4 to a level 2 in her body. When she was feeling that pressure in her body, went from a 4 to a 2, and then got stuck because it didn't trust her to actually follow through. So you want to make sure making the change, starting on the inside and really doing it, is so key. And by the way, as far as the part of stepping out to really connect with others on the physical plane during these times with COVID. I have to say, I have seen some of the most creative things of, you know, even just people reaching out to family or friends or even people on their social media lists. I mean, just all kinds of things have come up, and it's really beautiful. Even one senior living place in North Carolina, I thought they did the coolest thing on social media, and I'll actually post it on my social media so you can come see it if you want to take a look. But it was seniors who are living in this senior center are holding up a sign that said, "Would you like to be my pen pal?" And there's an address to write with them. And they each have like this note of like, "Would you like to be my pen pal? I love basketball." Or one guy, he's so funny. He held like his poster to hold up and it said, "Please be my pen pal," or something like that. I'm being held hostage by a bunch of aliens. "Please give me a plan to get out of here." And it was, you know, humorous and really funny. Some other people were like, you know, "I'm a veteran," or "I'm a Yankees fan," or something like that. I mean, I'm not getting it exactly right. I didn't memorize it all before coming on here. But point being is it was a lot of just interesting things that they said something about themselves and said, "Hey, I'd love a pen pal." And then in all of the comments on social media, on Facebook, there were people like, "Okay, I'm writing you a letter." And it was really sweet and creative. And it wasn't about sickness or injury or illness at all. It was, you know, things like, "I'm into basketball," or "playing cards," or I think somebody put in poker or something like that. But either way, it was things that people were interested in connecting through common interests. And so I thought that was beautiful. And, you know, just loving the way that I'm seeing some people reach out. So anyway, I'm going to put that on my social media, Facebook, so you can see a link if you want. The guy wrote that he was being held hostage by a bunch of aliens. You can tell he's got a great sense of humor. And he had so many people saying, "Okay, I'm writing you." And because, you know, he was positive and happy and connecting through humor and silliness. And that's what I love. Again, you know, it wasn't about connecting with sickness or trauma or negativity. It was connecting through a common interest or humor or something like that. So just really, really beautiful and so many creative ways when it comes to the follow-through part. And of course, making sure that if this is a problem for you in your life, making sure to look at what's going on the inside first and really shifting that. I gotta tell you, the things that I get to see all of the time are so incredible. You know, I work with the mind and energy, and not only do I do health, but health turned into also working with people, you know, in creating their lives in business. And even, I mean, if you saw the things that I see on a regular basis when I work with people with business and working with their life and expanding their lives, I get to see so many miraculous results. Just like with health, I get to see people change their life and their business and all of these things. Point being is that that change really does come from within. And so the more that you understand your mind and your energy, the more you change your health and your life. And so that said, guys, it has been such a pleasure connecting with you. I love that you are somebody who is here, who's continuing to bring in positivity, who's continuing to expand your mind and your consciousness. I love it. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. See you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. I love connecting with you. And if you love the show or you learned something, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and make sure to share it with the people around you. The more you share it, the more we can change our world for the better. Also, I love hearing from you. If you'd like to send me any questions or comments, please visit me at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctor. Instead, you'll want to continue to work with them and make it your goal to blow their mind with what you are capable of with your mind. Thank you.